Coming up this week on the Rock for Him podcast, we talk to the always entertaining Patrick Rivers of the band 3 Days Under.
Hey, this is Patrick Rivers from 3 Days Under, and if you're going to rock, rock for him.
Well, hello and welcome in to the Rock for Him podcast. I am your host, Sanshoes. And if you are on Facebook, Twitch, or YouTube and you want to send us a message, hit us up in the chat. I got Jeremy watching our Facebook page. I've got Twitch and YouTube up on the other screen. And we have probably one of our favorite guests, and honestly, this dude is so solid. Like, we had another guest scheduled. The guy couldn't make it tonight, so I threw up the bat signal, and Patrick was I threw up the pat signal,
right?
And he appeared.
And he appeared, yes. It was almost like you were hiding in the bushes, and I'm like, I need a guest, and you just kind of creeped your head up over the windowsill and was like, I'll be your guest.
Well, I did message Jeremy earlier. I was like, hey, we got a new song dropping tomorrow. Is there any way we could throw something together here in the next couple weeks? He'll say, let me check with Sanshoes and see if we can get something to squeeze you in somewhere. And then I get the message from you, and it's just like, okay, all right, it's time. Perfect timing, man. So whoever guest was, thank you for bailing so that I could join this evening. Do a little shameless self-promotion.
Love it. So tell us about the new song. Oh, I guess I should probably introduce you. We're sitting here. This is what happens when Patrick comes on. We mostly just sit here and talk, and we forget why we have him on. But this is Patrick Rivers of 3 Days Under.
Hello,
Patrick,
hello.
Welcome to the show.
We love having Patrick on. He's probably one of our favorites.
Always an honor and privilege to be here, gentlemen. This could all end tomorrow, and so I try not to take any of these opportunities for granted, so thank you.
Absolutely. Well,
we appreciate you. So, you mentioned earlier you got a new song. Tell us about it.
Well, the song is called My Dying Breath. And so, when we were writing it, and I didn't know the meaning behind the lyrics when I was writing it until I started going through this last season, and honestly a lot of things creeped up that I thought had been dealt with a long time ago. Like, I'm a Marine Corps veteran that served, did my war, and came home. So 7 months in the desert in Iraq. Mm-hmm. And so when I first got out, I was 24 years old, man, and I struggled terribly with PTSD. Depression, I mean, alcoholism, drug use, I mean, everything under the sun that you read about PTSD, that nobody understands it. I mean, unless you've been through it, especially the war aspect of it, you don't really have a grasp on it. So there wasn't people in my life, or there weren't people in my life that could really understand what I was dealing with, why the mood swings, why the angry outburst, why the depression, why the solitude, why the complete, I mean, you could be super chill 1 minute and then, I mean, off the rails the very next. And so while writing the song, again, I didn't realize how impactful lyrically this song was until the season that I just recently came out of dealing with PTSD again. I mean, after 30 or 20 some odd years, PTSD creeped right back in out of nowhere, out of the blue. I mean, popped up. And so in the middle of all this stuff, I was just re-listening because I still had to try to be functional somehow. And so I was, okay, well, we got this song coming out. Let me give this thing a few more listens to make sure that it's good to go and locked in. And as I'm listening to the song, I'm realizing that while writing the lyrics to this, I was subconsciously writing about PTSD and all the suffering and the anguish and everything that you deal with when you're struggling through this trauma. And it is trauma. And PTSD doesn't just come from people who have been through a war. It comes from people who have been raped, sexually abused, family abuse, any traumatic experience they've had in their life that really just, it shocks the system and it puts your system in a state of literal, it shuts it down for that moment. And you move on, or you think you move on, and that moment can creep up anytime, and it doesn't knock, it kicks in the door. And so when I'm listening to the song, I was like, holy crap, I can't believe this was in me and the meaning behind it. And while it has so much biblical undertone, I had the realization that this is what this song is meant for. This song is meant for the people who go through these kinds of things on a daily basis and they don't know a way out, and it's their plea to God, take this from me, I can't do this on my own. Wake me from this nightmare, pull me from below. I mean, it's those things, it's those words and those my silent prayers, the screams that were coming inaudibly, and the war that I'm fighting that I thought I left behind 20 years ago. And then I got to speak to Jeremy, or the big boy, at KCF, and he was explaining to me some of the things that he had been dealing with and things that he were going through, and I was like, man, this song just hits home on so many aspects for so many people. And I don't know how much Jeremy has shared with the Rock for Him family as far as what he was dealing with, but I mean, I was like, man, this couldn't come at a better time, because I know it gave me hope, not in his suffering, but to know that I'm not on an island. I'm not the only one out here facing these things and dealing with these things on a daily basis. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a very, once you pull back the curtain and you really look into the song and the meaning behind it, it's a very deep and I think it's a powerful song. And honestly, it's not one of my favorite songs that we've ever written and released. Honestly, I'm kind of dreading the release tomorrow for the reaction, because it's just such a different, it's a different pie that we've made. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
So honestly, I mean, the radio promotions people, they got back with us and they listened to the first cut, which is 4 minutes and like 42 seconds long. Like, look, dude, you guys got to come back with a radio edit. And so Jen Lamaris from the record label, our promotions lady, she gave me the whole rundown. I was like, you're going to have to copy and paste the email, or just forward me the email. Let me read it so I can figure out what we need to do. So we had to cut, I think we got it down to 3 minutes and 23 seconds is what we were able to cut. So when we do release the full album of all the singles and everything we've released over the last couple of years, you're going to get a radio edit, and then you're going to get the studio version. But what you're going to hear is the radio edit. But every radio station that we have contact with, they're getting both copies, and they can decide which ones they want to play. I think you guys got both copies.
We do have both copies. And the first copy you sent us, the full version, fantastic song. Love it. That, personally, since how I'm the one that chooses song, well, I don't choose the songs, but I'm the one that does the top 15, that is the song that's going to go on there.
Oh, the, I understand.
The OG version. So,
well, it was a little premature when you guys listed it first.
Well, when we got it, it said it was available to play. So I'm like, sweet, threw it on there, and yeah.
I didn't know they were sending out emails available to play.
Yeah,
I thought because I mean I'm friends with a few DJs and a few radio managers, and they were like, listen, we're not going to play this beforehand because it messes up the algorithm, so you're not going to get the tracking on it for the charts and things like that. So we're definitely going to wait till release day. That way, when it releases, you get that super bump
in
numbers. And so, but I didn't know they were sending out emails ready to play.
Yeah, like
see, I don't know the behind the label scenes. I didn't know that was a ready to play.
Yeah, no. So well, to be fair, it hadn't played yet. It was loaded to the station, but I hadn't gone in and set
but you
it
came
to
up
play.
Behind that thing like a snipe and you're like, "Cow, not yeah. playing today."
Yes. So I actually took it down so it didn't accidentally get clicked to go ahead and play. So now I'll go re-upload it tonight. And
yeah, tonight at midnight. First, if you guys go, I think we got a pre-save link on our Facebook page. I think we yep. posted that today. So if you go ahead and pre-save that, when you wake up in the morning, it could be the first thing that hits your ear holes, and you could be all sad and depressed the entire day.
I don't know how anybody can be sad and depressed with that voice coming through our ear holes.
Right? You don't know my wife.
So then she's much like my wife. She hears my voice and just gets all sad. I'm kidding. Babe, if you're watching, I'm kidding. I yeah, joke.
And babe, if you're watching, I'm not kidding. I understand. She was like, keeping up on you.
Uh-huh. She's literally standing at the door. She's like, did you just say my name?
I heard Babe. I figured you
would. Hi, Jen. They said hi, Jen.
You say my name too?
Get the dog out
okay,
of here.
Come on.
Thank you.
Sorry for being unprofessional. Love you guys.
Love you.
I am professional family.
She heard me say her name and she's like, wait, what was that? Yeah.
Uh-huh. You got caught, son. You got caught. Redhead.
That's why I love doing a live podcast.
Right? You just never
just
know.
Walk right in.
See, that's why I have a nerdatorium. And
yes.
So I can, like, when I'm down here, they're like, no, okay, Dad's doing something important or he's watching a movie. So
don't bother
me. If I'm doing something like this, it's like, okay, guys, I'm going down. I'm doing a podcast, so I'll be unavailable for the next hour or so, and they won't come in. But now, if I hear that, I got a squeaky like screen door that goes into the house. So if I hear that thing, I'm like, something's creeping up on me. Catching me watching my DuckTales or something like that.
Nice. If you could see my nerd cave right now. My daughter's birthday is in a couple weeks, and we are putting on an 18th birthday party for her. And this all, like, if I were to take it off and you were to see behind me.
Well, come on, man. Peer pressure. All
right.
Yep. There.
You're about to see all the stuff that my wife has set up for my daughter's birthday party. Hang on here. Let me, see if I can figure out how to do those backgrounds. None. Hang on. Got to turn on the light.
Oh, it's super dark in here. It's great for a party, though. No close dancing. Oh, wow. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you're locked in with stuff, bub. Like... Yeah. Yep. You have become the storage unit.
Yeah. That...
You've become the storage unit.
Yes, my man cave is a storage unit. All right, I'm turning the light back off and putting the background back on. Nobody wants to see that.
While you're doing
I'm seeing it.
All right. John Terrell said, were you in Operation Iraqi Freedom?
I was. Yes, I was in Iraqi Freedom. I shipped over in 2003? January of 2003, and I came home July of 2003. I was advanced party, and then I was, for my unit, I was the, that's the thing that got me with the Marine Corps. They send me over early, say, dude, yeah, you'll probably beat the rest of your guys home. But then they turn around and kept me an extra month. Because Marines, they do six-month pumps. I do six, come back home for six, and then go back for six. They got me for seven. They got me. But I got buddies who went over and did, like, seven tours over there. And
so, in the back.
They've seen way more and did way more than I ever had to deal with, but definitely had my cup full.
Hmm.
So.
Well, I know I tell you this every single time we have you on, but thank you for your service. Like,
and I appreciate that. I really do. I really do. And honestly, I mean, coming out of this season of realizing that that PTSD is like a skeleton in the closet that I thought would just go away or that I had dealt with is Yeah, that was a lie. And here's a little PSA. Listen, if you're struggling and you thoughts of suicide, I was there. I mean, I literally got to the point where I was at work one day that I was like, I got to call. I got to go to the VA and check myself in. And I got to stay there for a few days because I'm not well. I mean, it was the straight up panic attacks. I was bad off. And this was, 3 months ago? And so, but I called up the VA and I was like, listen, what does it look like if I come up and check myself in for everything that I deal with? And they were like, well, I'm sorry, sir. We don't offer those kind of services to our veterans here. I'm like, what? And I kind of went off on the lady. And I was like, what are you? You're the VA. And I'm a veteran dealing with some stuff. Well, we could send you to Chillicothe, which is like an hour and a half away, 2 hours away from home. Like, if I wanted to go to Chillicothe, I'd go to Chillicothe, but I'm trying to go to the VA for help. I'm asking you for help, and you're turning me away. And so finally I went down to, the local hospital here, and I was like, listen, I just need to talk to somebody. And thank God the security guard, he's a former Iraqi Freedom Veteran, too. And I walked in, and, I had to pass through the checkpoint. I was like, listen, man, I'm a veteran. I'm having a break. I don't know what to do, and I just need to talk to somebody. I wind up in a freaking purple Velcro gown, all my belongings took, and I'm sitting in this room like half naked. And I looked at, I was like, listen, I just need somebody to talk to. I'm not looking for this. What I mean, that was very traumatic as well. But they're like, listen, this is just procedure. You don't, because we live in an area where there's we were like ground zero for the big opioid epidemic. And when that happened over the last 10, 20 years. And so this is protocol because we get a lot of people on opioids. We get a lot of people on methamphetamine. So this is protocol. And so, but that dude right there, he sat with me and he talked me down, talked me off the ledge, and walked me through everything I was going through. And I've been seeing a VA counselor for the last 3.5-4 months. So if you're struggling, don't be afraid to go and speak to somebody. Don't be afraid to share what you're going through, because you're not on an island. You're not by yourself. You're not alone. And I understand when people say, well, pray, give your problems to God. He'll take them from you. And I understand how that doesn't work when you're in a situation. When you are going through a moment like that, that is the furthest thing. You pray. That's what you're doing. You're praying and you're screaming and you're fighting and you're struggling. And you're, God, just make this stop. Bring me back something, either end me or release me. What are you going to do? Because we can't keep doing this. I'm done doing this. Just let me go. So, I mean, I understand the prayers and I'm praying for you. And that doesn't work. I mean, not always it doesn't work. Prayer is a very powerful thing. Don't negate that factor of it either. But sometimes you have to go speak to somebody. Somebody who will listen, somebody who will understand, and it's okay. It's not weakness. It doesn't show a lack of manhood or lack of womanhood or lack of being who you are. It's okay to hurt. It's okay to struggle, but it's not, and I've said it a billion one times, it's not okay to do it alone. And I tried to do it alone. I ate my own words because I was trying to do it. I was trying to be strong for my wife, for my kids, for the band, for the ministry. Until I had to realize I'm ruining everything. I am literally destroying everything because I became despondent with the band. I became very short and brash and harsh with the family, and they could see what I was dealing with, and everything was eggshells around here. And so I had to go, and I had to speak to someone, and I had to start getting things off my chest and be vulnerable. And the vulnerability is the hardest thing for me. I am not a vulnerable dude. I am not an emotional guy. I am not somebody who's going to sit there and tell you, yeah, my day's been bad, and I really need a petting room, and I need my pillow, and I just need to sit and cry. I'm not the cry guy. But until I went and started talking to the counselor, I'm still not the cry guy yet. I'm sure she'll work her way to that. But I'm very thankful for being able to open up to somebody who will listen and understand. And they don't sit there and they don't judge. They say, listen, I know exactly what you're going through, and I can give you the steps and the tools to help you fix this. And thank God at the VA, he put a biblical woman, a Christian woman, a Bible believing, God fearing woman as my counselor. And when I mentioned what I do for my hobby as the ministry, and what I feel my calling is, as soon as that came out, all chains were off. She was able to speak about religion. She was able to speak about faith and work with those tools, with the clinical tools, which are very biblical, by the way, to help me get to where I'm at right now. And I feel amazing, besides the fact that I have to pee.
Well, I say you look fantastic.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Yeah. I've been putting a lot of work there, too.
Yeah, I mean, not just like, you know, strong like bull. I'm talking like you Whatever. Look.
You were making me blush for a minute, pal.
I mean, you do look good, but I mean, overall, I can tell in your demeanor. I'm guessing this all happened when you took your hiatus, what, year ago or so?
No, this was after the Frankfurt show back in March. This all happened after the Frankfurt show.
Really?
This whole episode, yeah. I was thinking then I'm back on top of the world. And then all of a sudden, everything just hit out of nowhere. I mean, panic and fear and anxiety and stress, and I didn't know where it was coming from. Well, looking back, it was the first meeting with the counselor that I ever had. She started asking some questions about some past stuff. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, this happened, and they said this. And then I think I started dwelling on those, which brought – it just opened – she opened the door, which is good. Which is good. And, I mean, I'm sure she wasn't intending it to go as far as it did. But it was good that she opened that door to let everything out, because I feel so, so much better. And I'm going to continue this therapy thing. I'm going to continue going to see her once a week for the next couple weeks, and then they're going to put me in some because the time that I spent in the desert, I was there for 7 months. Everything that I could remember about being there is about a week long. So out of 7 months, I remember about a week of the desert. I don't remember much of my childhood. And so the next step is like memory regression, to go back and see what happened, understand what happened, and deal with the roots of things that way this doesn't happen again. And so I'll be honest, I'm scared of that. I don't know if there's things that I want to know, because I know there was trauma in my childhood. I mean, I know there was trauma in the desert, and so, I mean, but it's one of those things that I feel like I really, really have to do in order to be whole and to be better for not only my family, but whoever listens to me on stage, because it's easy to talk about it, but it's very difficult to be about it when you've got stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, this is a really important topic. Honestly, I wish churches dealt with it more. Because I know in our church, we have a couple of veterans. One of them, I believe he was over in Iraq, and he right now, he's training therapy dogs to help other veterans. Yeah. Like, he's always bringing in new pups and, you know, training them up, and, you know, for vets, and, you know, just seeing where he was when he first got back to where he is now. And it was through therapy, through him getting a therapy dog and going and seeing a counselor, seeing how he is mentally. Because, I mean, this guy, solid Christian, his entire family solid Christians, but he seemed like the type of guy you didn't want to walk up and have a conversation with.
Yeah, I get that about me a lot. Yeah, it's like you seem abrasive, and I mean, I've gotten that a lot. I just don't want to walk up and talk to you because you're very, and not intimidating as far as my stature, but intimidating as far as my demeanor. If that makes sense. And so,
this guy now, it was like a 180. Like, the dude walks up to me and he's giving me a hug and fist bumps, and he's like, "How you doing?" Whereas before, just quiet and just walk right past.
Am I going to be the first guest to get up and go pee?
No.
Yeah, go ahead. Jeremy and I will talk.
Give the rundown about what's coming up this week, because I really got to pee.
So anyways, now we can talk about Patrick now that he's not in the room.
All right.
I do think this is a first for the show. Guest got up to go pee.
This is a first. And I guess now would be a good time to kind of... So, yeah, when I ran into Patrick at KCF, Jason, you knew kind of what was going on. I've dealt with depression and suicidal thoughts my entire life. As far back as I can remember, at least in my teens. And there's just been things that have been going on mental health wise that, you know, I'm not healthy enough for my family, for my wife and kids and everything, and even this ministry. And, you know, when I saw Patrick at KCF, my intention was never to open up about that because I felt like that wasn't the place, but just something about seeing Patrick and knowing the relationship him and I have, I was able to open up to him. And I opened up to a few other people at KCF, and I felt seen, I felt loved, I felt, you know, and I've told you this, Jason, I feel like KCF was like a reset for me. Like,
yeah,
you know, the things that I've been dealing with, I kind of have a little bit better of a grasp. You know, I'm looking into getting therapy myself and stuff. And, you know, I was just kind of filling everybody in, Patrick, while you peed real quick, and what you and I kind of talked about.
It was a good pee. It was a real good pee. You know how when you're driving for like hours and you're like, I can make it to the next rest area, and then you just wait and you're just like, no, I gotta hit this one. I just had to hit the rest area.
Nice. Well, Jeremy, real quick to go back to you, and then we'll get back to the reason we're on. As someone who, you know, absolutely loves and adores you, bro, it does break my heart that I'm not able to help you more. You know I'm always here for you. You,
I know.
Like 24 hours a day, you can pick up that phone and call me. And I'm
and we're here, we're both here for each other. And,
yeah. So, you know, I'm happy. And I'm so thankful that you got to go down there and it was that reset for you. Because there's times where I've honestly been worried about you, not knowing what to say, how to help you. You know, besides that wanting to grab you by the shoulders and just shake you and like, bro! But I know that's not helpful.
Some of the best things that you can do for somebody who's struggling is just listen.
Yeah, and
you
I do.
You don't have to say, this is just for in general. You don't have to say anything. I noticed that, I mean, people want to diagnose, they want to give advice, they want to, but sometimes the best thing in when you're dealing with somebody who's in crisis or something like that is to just listen, let them get it off their chest. And I know Jeremy feels the same way as I do, as far as sometimes you just feel like it gets to the point where you're just complaining, and people look at you like a complainer,
but I did,
and a whiner, and like an always woe is me guy. So... anything that comes out of your mouth is going to just bring everybody down, so you just keep it inside and you just struggle with it yourself and you choke it down. So sometimes, I mean, and this is again for everybody out there, if you come across or somebody comes to you and you can see something's off and you're like, dude, you good? And they start opening up, don't diagnose. Don't try to give advice. Sometimes the best medicine is just let them get it out. Let them get it off the chest. And that does more healing. And I think that was your reset, Jeremy, because you got to go to a place where you were safe, you felt safe, you felt loved, and you got to open up. And people were like, "Dude, it's cool, man. We're glad you're okay. We're glad you didn't do those things. We're glad that you're here. You're a blessing. You're important. You matter." So,
kudos to you, bro. It was. My wife, you know, there was stuff that I told my wife that I've never told anybody else. And, you know, I don't know. It's still something that I struggle with, even being vulnerable. Like, just opening up to you, Patrick, it was hard.
Yeah, and I understand that. And I appreciate the fact that you did. And so, I mean, and I didn't realize how tall you were.
That's only the second time we've been around each other.
Yeah, and you show up, and I'm like, All right, bro. This is what we're doing.
I don't even want to hear it. Try being me, just this short, fat dude going up against him. And we stand up on stage and I've got him. And, you know, when Riker's around, he, you know, he's tall and skinny. And I'm just like, all right, I'm the short, fat one in the middle. Great.
So you be the best short, fat one in the middle you could ever be, bro.
Yes.
Right?
That's what you do. That's what you do with it.
That's what I do. Oh, man. So, uh-oh. Lee just said something is up with the audio on the podcast. I don't know what's up.
Are you sure it's not the audio on your end, Lee?
Yeah, Lee, maybe it's your fault. No one else said anything about the audio.
Bad Wi-Fi.
I'm asking which platform he's watching.
Are you driving through and trying to pay attention to a YouTube, Facebook Live, or Twitch stream?
Listen, I'm watching all of them right now, so that's why I keep looking to this side. I'm looking forward. I'm looking over here.
Right, I'm watching the Facebook one, and really the only one who's commenting is John Carell.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad John's commenting. Thank you, John. I can't read your comments, but I appreciate the fact that you were commenting.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit what he says. He said that he was supposed to be in the Army before Iraqi freedom back in 2001. He declined his enlistment contract at age 17, which happened to be the Friday before 9/11 happened. Then he goes on and he says, this country really fails with its veterans. It's sad. PTSD, homelessness, disabilities, etc. And he's praying for you. And Jesus is the ultimate healer.
Thank you, John. I agree with everything you said, except for the current state of the VA right now. Like, for 20 years, I fought with the VA over stuff and care and things like that. But over the last 10 years, I've really seen a complete turnaround in how the VA operates, how it takes care of us veterans. I mean, you go into those places and you are treated like a king. You really are, and they have really been on top of making sure that you're at your appointments, making sure that you have medication, making sure that you have the care that you need. And I'm not just talking for me. I'm just talking for older vets as well, especially disabled veterans. I've seen an uptick in the way that they care for veterans in such a positive way, because I used to hate dealing with them, and that's why I just wouldn't go to appointments and deal with any of their stuff, because it was always, you got to jump through this hoop to get to this hoop to get to that hoop to get things that you're just like, dude, I just need this fixed. Why do I got to go have an MRI on my back when I'm in here for my freaking knee? I mean, just deal with the issue at hand. Well, we're going to put you an appointment out 3 months, but the issue is now. I just want it looked at now. Help me out. And but they've gotten way better at taking care of the veterans. So shout out for the VA right now. Hopefully that don't change, but
yeah, I think I've seen, I mean, not that I'm a veteran or anything like that, but just from the friends that I have that are veterans, they have said that they are really starting to focus on some of these issues, the PTSD, the homelessness, even though, you know, the homelessness, I think, is a huge problem amongst veterans. Like, it's a huge problem anyways. No one should be without a home, but, you know, for a veteran to come back and
let me get some insight on the homeless veteran.
Yeah.
There's a large population of the homeless veteran out there who want to be homeless because it's easy to disappear. It's easy to not have to deal with society. It's easy to fade away and get away from the noise and the drama of everyday life. There's a very large percentage of it being a choice. Because it's just easier to survive that way. You get your check every month. You have money in your pocket from your VA disability, and you just disappear. You're not tracked. You're not accountable. Because, dude, when you're over in combat or you're even in the military, let's just say you did 4 years and you never saw a day in combat. That 4 years is 4 years of being told where to go, how to go there, how to dress, how to cut your hair, how to speak, how to stand, how to sleep, how to carry yourself, no hands in your pockets. I mean, the rules and the way you carry yourself as a United States military personnel is ridiculous. And so, I mean, some of that is just too overwhelming for people. And that's, I mean, how do I phrase this? I usually don't worry about how I phrase things. But that's a form of trauma that some people just aren't prepared to take on when they sign that dotted line. Whether you look at that as a high level trauma or a low level trauma, I mean, but. Yeah. And at the same time, I've seen veterans come out get. Do I tell this story? I got a guy that I grew up with. I'm not going to tell this story. No. Well, it's, you know what? I don't care. I got this guy that I grew up with. Went in knowing he had a medical disability. He gets, I think, halfway through Marine Corps boot camp. 9/11 happens, finds out, of course, the threat of war is on. Immediately goes to medical, complaining about the medical issue that he knew that they didn't catch at MEPS. Goes and complains about his medical issue. Gets a medical discharge. 2 years later, goes and files for disability. Gets it knowing something. It was a pre-existing condition that they didn't catch at MEPS. And now he walks around just all gung-ho Marine Corps. Ooh-rah. Like, it's like, dude, that kind of stuff goes through me. It's like, dude, you're like wearing a badge. You're wearing stripes you didn't earn. And you knew this was wrong with you. And you got out, and now you're collecting taxpayer dollars for something that was a pre-existing condition. And that is just, that kind of stuff goes right through me. So that is kind of, if they seal up those cracks in the VA and in the introduction program to the military, that would be great. Because there's a lot of people out there that are really riding on the backs of people that gave everything. They gave everything, and they're just walking around like, well, it's a check to me. Well, it's not a check to me because I lost friends over there. And I've seen how it's affected their families and how it's affected their children. So I'm not down with that kind of stuff. So that's kind of where they need to fix the whole government thing. And I don't even know why I told that story. But, it's military talk, and people are probably saying, I don't want to hear about your military. I'm here to hear about some music.
Well, for those people, guess what? It's our show. Well, it's actually his show, but we're the ones running it, and we want to hear this stuff. So,
well, sorry. Thank you. I'm not sorry.
And I get it. And it's, to be honest, almost as bad for the people that are in, like, law enforcement. I've got two nephews that are cops. One is a cop in Flint, Michigan, and he has seen some horrific things. I was talking to him, about a year ago. He was telling me a story of how he literally was within 3 seconds of pulling the trigger on a 16-year-old kid who was pointing a gun at him. And he was begging this kid to put the gun down. And he was able to distract this kid long enough that his partner snuck around and tackled the kid and got the gun away from him. But he said he was within 3 seconds of pulling that trigger.
I know, as a Christian musician and a Christian and a believer, I would have pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's me or him. And that's just the training. And, I know that sounds terrible, but I don't care. If you're old enough to make adult decisions, you're old enough to suffer adult consequences. Because you're not going to take from my family because you're an idiot. You're not. Yep. I'm not giving you that opportunity.
Yeah.
And, I know that sounds cold, and I know that sounds very, very, well, give the kid a chance. He had his chance because we said, freeze, put your weapon down, get on the ground. You refused to do that. Now you have to deal with the turn wherever you may wind up.
Exactly.
Because you don't know if that kid was a believer or not. He could have been a believer. He could have been on rough times. He could have been dealing with some stuff as well. But at the same time, when I was dealing with stuff, just because I was dealing with stuff, that was not an excuse or a reason for everybody else to suffer around me.
Right.
I used that as an excuse. I'm dealing with this, and you don't know what I'm dealing with, and you don't know how it feels, and you don't know what I'm going through. So until you do, I don't want to hear your opinion. And that's not fair to everyone else around you. It's not.
Nope.
And let me just say, this is probably the most serious conversation us three have ever had on this podcast.
Yeah.
This is like deep. This is like, I don't know how I feel about this.
But this is what needed to happen. I was telling my wife, she's like, man, how did you get him to come on so quickly? I'm like, listen, he comes on, we'll spend most of the time laughing. And normally we do, but this is something that we needed to hit on. Like,
yeah, I think it's a highly important topic, and I don't, especially in the Christian world, I don't think it's addressed enough.
Yeah,
because again, going back to so many times, well, give your problems to God, just lay it down at the feet of Jesus, and you know He'll take care of everything. Just have faith, and have trust, and just know that God has got you, and He'll lead you through all these things. And while that sounds great, and while that is true, the ability of the flesh to literally lay those things down when so many things have happened that you're struggling with in trauma, it's nearly impossible to do. Yeah. You have to be freaking Gandhi to turn around and go to that moment of Zen and breathe and let those things go, which I honestly, dude, I got on medication. I was on a medication for like 4 weeks. And the doctor looked at me there like, now listen, the biggest side effect of this medication is if you break out in a rash and it has boils on it and they start oozing, seek medical attention immediately. but I was at such a point, because I'm so anti-medication.
Yeah.
I'm so anti-anything, putting anything natural in my body. But I was at the point where I said, I don't care. I need to come back to me, to some semblance of me, and be able to think. And she was like, well, what this medication does, it slows your brain down just enough to where you get to process that little gap between reaction and decision, or incident and decision. It'll give you that 3-second window to let you internalize that, and it's just a small pause. I was like, whatever. I don't care what it is. Put it in me. Let's get it. And so
after, real quick, sorry. John Coral says the feed on Facebook is freezing, and I was going to address this when you were done, but I just want to let everyone that's watching know I am aware. I just got notification on my phone that they're working on the lines here around my house, so we may just end up dropping halfway through the show. Well, we're over halfway through the show, but if I go away, it's because they're working on the lines. So
if you're in, you win.
That's right. But if it doesn't drop before we end, we're going to actually play the new song. So,
perfect.
Yes. But anyways, finish what you were saying. Sorry.
But so after the 4 weeks on the medication, I realized, okay, I'm doing this with the medication. I'm starting to see the things that kind of irritate or that kind of stress me or put me in a panic, put me in fight or flight. I see the issues coming up, and I'm able to deal with them. I'm going off this medication. Because now I'm physically doing it, so let's see how we do without the medication. And I think it's been about 4 weeks now that I've not been on the medication, and I'm telling you, it's just that little mind reset, that little, okay, I can physically do this, and I can physically walk this out, because I'm not going to be dependent on any medication for the rest of my life. I refuse to. I believe in the healing power. I know that prayers helped a lot. I had a lot of people praying for me, and probably some that I don't know that were praying. Because I know my wife, she called a pastor friend of mine. She called some old Marine Corps buddies, and I'm getting calls left and right. And I knew when the calls were coming in because I talked to these guys maybe once or twice a year. But I knew when the calls were coming in right with everything was going on. I'm like, yo, dude, I know where you're calling. I know the wife called you and or messaged you, so let's get this. Let's cut the small talk and let's just get to it. And so, and of course, it was all the same stuff. I understand what you're going through. Blah 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 blah. And they all gave the same positive advice, but the same mindset and the same stuff was there. Because it was a Patrick issue, and it was a Patrick issue to deal with. and it was a Patrick issue to take control of. And once I had control of it, I could give it to God fully, saying, this is what needs remedied. I see it now. This is what I need to be. I need to figure out how to be me, and I need to figure out how to be whole again. And I don't know how to do that because there's things I don't remember God. There's things that I don't understand God, but I know you understand them. So here they are. Take them and do with them what you will, because I can't carry it anymore. I've managed to gather up what I can. Here you go. And the rest is in your hands. And so that's how all this come about. And then the realization with My Dying Breath of just the song. I mean, again, it's not one of my favorite songs that we've done, and I know this is bad PR. I should be like, this is the greatest song we've ever released. But I think maybe part of it is because the content of the song is why it's not my favorite. Because it's hard, and it's very vulnerable lyrically for me. And the guys in the band, I mean, to put this music together, and again, not knowing, we knew we're writing biblical material. We're writing Christian material, and I'm a big fan of David, and when he wrote so many psalms about his struggles, I know why I'm a fan of that, because I found myself living that. And so I'm just thinking, I'm just writing more psalms of David, you know, not realizing how deeply it connected to my subconscious and what was coming out. So it's a vulnerable song.
For sure.
I would tell a fart joke just to lighten the moods, but I don't have any good fart jokes right now. I've already told my pee joke.
I was saying, you've already went to the bathroom during the podcast, so. I mean, Jeremy just has a bucket down below him, so he's good to go.
Yeah, I didn't prepare my pee bucket before I came in, so.
Listen, I've got a buddy that goes duck hunting. And my wife made the mistake of asking him, because he gets up and like 2 o'clock in the morning, and he's out there all day. He doesn't get home until like midnight.
Dang.
She's like, well, where do you go to the bathroom? He says, I have a thunder bucket.
A thunder bucket?
What's the thunder bucket? It's literally a bucket that they...
Dude, I am going to start packing a thunder bucket on stage to every show. not to be used, just to have a thunder bucket. That sounds like such a cool bucket. Now I need a thunder bucket.
Everybody needs a thunder bucket. And I know when he watches this show, he's like, I can't believe he told my thunder bucket story. Yes,
dude, that man is proud of his thunder bucket. If he's going to tell your wife about his thunder bucket, that is something. He's putting like duck hunting stickers on. He's probably got what was that old show with the duck commanders? Yeah, he's probably got Duck Dynasty stickers on the side of it. Uncle Si with a sweet tea right on the side of his thunder bucket. Yeah, that's what's happening. That dude's proud of his thunder bucket.
Oh, he is definitely proud of his thunder bucket.
So kudos to you and your thunder bucket, bro.
Duck Dynasty's back on too.
What?
Yeah, they did a revival. So it's my wife and I are actually going through season 2 right now.
Didn't Phil die?
Phil died. Yep. But it's Willie and his family.
Oh. Well, that sucks. Mm. You can't have Duck Dynasty without Phil. He was the rock, son. He was like their Paul, bro.
Right?
Man.
But it's yeah.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of thunder buckets, let's listen to the new... No, I'm just kidding.
Jennifer Walters is a...
Listen, the leader of my small group, he's an associate pastor at our church. He comes up with the most awkward segues. He would be proud of it. Speaking of thunder buckets, let's listen to the new song.
I'm so proud of you right now, bro.
Oh, it's kind of love I got for you. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and play it so Facebook can see it, and then I'll share my screen and we'll be able to at least hear it. So.
Okay, I like it a little bit better.
All right, hang on, let me get back to the podcast version. All right, and we're back. I hope you guys all enjoyed My Dying Breath, and I hope it actually played and not made me look like an idiot like it did with Crimson Overtone. But
well, we got to listen.
We did.
Right?
So radio edit or studio version? What do you think?
I still like the studio version.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we had to cut out so much to get it down to time. I mean, there's nothing lyrically cut out. There's a lot of instrumental cut out. A lot of the intro was cut out. There's a big transition between the first verse and second verse that was cut out. I mean, we had to cut out, what, like a minute 20 some odd seconds, and that was difficult to find out where to cut the fat, but we found it to get it to radio, so.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer Walter said she absolutely loved it.
Oh, so. Well, thank you, Jennifer. Well, Jennifer, you're like my sister, so that's like saying, good job, big bro.
So, right.
But I do appreciate it.
At least you didn't cut out one of my favorite parts. That little pause there with the bass, there's that boom, and then you get right back into it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
As someone that used to play bass, just that little
Yeah. Yeah. There were certain things like we thought about cutting out some of Robin's solo, but we feel like that's probably one of the best solos Robin's played. And so we were like, no, we're not touching the solo. We got to cut out some of the breakdown leading up to the solo. We got to cut out some of the intro because we were talking before it even got released. I was saying, Jamie, this thing is way too long. It's just way too long. We got to trim fat somewhere. And he's like, no, this is our epic. This is our big 4 minute, 42 second song. And I'm like, okay, cool. Because it's a democracy here at the band. I mean, it's just like, okay, cool. If everybody's down with it being this long, then we're just going to throw it out there as this long. But after listening to the studio version for so long, and then you get the radio edit, you're just like, I don't know if I like that very well. Because you're so used to what was there. And it feels like somebody, you went to the buffet and you got all this great stuff on your plate and you got back to the table and somebody came along and just took half of it away. And so the more I listen to the radio edit, the more I appreciate it because, I mean, I don't know. Again, it's just a vulnerable song to me, like really, really vulnerable. So, it is what it is, I guess.
I mean, it's still fantastic. Don't take anything away from it. The drumming. On point. Guitars,
dude,
on
David,
point.
David, we are so blessed to have David, man. That guy, you could send him me screaming, playing a ukulele, and he'd lay down a drum beat to it and make it awesome. That guy is such a wizard behind that kit. Just like, I think, no, that's another song we're working on that I've really been I've been procrastinating laying down the vocals for it. That we're supposed to release sometime soon too. It's called Coming for Blood. But we were in the group chat. He's like, yeah, dude, I got this part in the song where I've taken a chain and I've dropped it on beat to just add some effect to this song. I'm like, a chain? He's like, yeah, a big old heavy, like 50 pound chain that I'm just, and it was so hard to get it on beat because it's such heavy. And he's like, and I'm dropping it in there. And I was like, well, let's hear it. And he sent it back, and you hear that thing in the freaking drum track, and you're like, what is this, dude? The guy's a magician back there, bro. Man, it's just good. He's just good. And, of course, Jamie, he's the guy who puts it all together and makes it sound the way it sounds coming through. And, I mean, I think it'd be a lot more difficult if I didn't have skilled musicians around me to guide me and say, because Jamie had a lot of input on how I sang, especially the very soft first verse. He had a lot of input. He was like, why don't you sing this line this way? Or why don't you try to inflect right here? And so, I mean, that guy's just amazing. I am just so blessed to have such great musicians around a low-talent hack like myself to make the music that we put out there. And it's just a blessing to be back doing it, really. And one thing I'm really surprised that you guys have not mentioned is my haircut. I figured that would have been one of the first things that you guys jumped on today, but
I've been noticing, but I've been complimenting your look so much that
you do look different without long hair. I will say that.
Yeah, I look like I belong like in an office somewhere. But I couldn't work in an office somewhere because HR would have me fired the first day. Because where I have zero filter, I mean, it's just like, yeah, that's not gonna work here, Mr. Rivers. I'm gonna need to see you in my office. I don't care where you need to see me. You're seeing me right here. Let's put it out right here. I'm an open book. Let's get this done. So,
very nice.
My wife made me dress up at the beach, like in like a polo shorts, like a deep blue with a white polo button down with sailboats on it. Nerd. It was awful. Awful nerd. So such a nerd. But I did it for her because it was important to her. So
the things nerd. We do for the women we love.
Good news is I don't think there's any photos of that, so you will never see it.
If she's watching, I know you have a picture of it.
It's
get
so
it
cute.
To me ASAP. And I promise you, it will not go right in the beginning of the podcast.
It's so cute that you think my wife cares about what I have to say on a podcast. You know how much she listens to me talk about the music, or she has to listen to the songs, especially like when I get the rough cut, when it all sounds like trash and it's like just crap. Well, here's the layout of the song, and let's just give it a listen to see if this is the layout. And I'm playing that back 50 times on the loudspeakers in the house. What do you think, babe? I thought it was fine the first 5 times. Yeah, but what did you think of this part? I don't care about that part. No, she's a good woman. She's a good woman. I'm very supportive, bro. I wouldn't be doing this. Couldn't do it without her, really. So
same here. All right.
Amen. You're just saying that because you got caught red-handed, bro.
I did. Like, my beautiful, lovely, talented wife, like, she is so
extremely supportive.
Yes, extremely supportive, and I could have swore I just heard the door open up again. I got a little. Did you notice the panic? I'm like, oh, she caught me again. Oh, that's probably my kid slamming doors. Anyways, well, it looks like we've gone for an hour, which I can't believe we've gone for an hour. It must have been like that 20-minute pee break that you took.
Dude, that was like pit crew pee break, buddy. I mean, I was getting out. But hopefully I was the first to up and leave mid-podcast to urinate.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I get for that sure. Trope. Sweet.
Yep. For sure. All right. So it's time to pray. So, Patrick, how can we be praying for you?
You can pray for me to be better than I was tomorrow, today, because that is my goal. To be a better man tomorrow than I was today. Because there's no competition with anybody except for yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you're not being better the next day than you were the day before, then you're not doing anything. So, and I pray that I just, everything that I do and everything that I say and every single interaction, whether it be with family, whether it be with strangers or coworkers, that I truly reflect the love of Jesus. That's just my prayer.
Okay. And I'm going to pray for your wife, too, having to deal with you.
And the kids. Don't forget the kids.
Wife and kids.
Yeah, dealing with Patrick.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. Great and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Patrick, and we thank you for the work that you've done in his life and putting people in his life to help him with his PTSD and so many other things. Lord, I ask that you just continue to grow him and continue to put people in his life that can just speak truth to him and continue to keep him on that right path and mentally just keep him grounded. Lord, I ask you help him to be a better man tomorrow than he is today, and then a better man the following day. Just continue to grow him in your likeness. Lord, I ask you to watch over his wife and kids. Lord, just bless them, put hedges of protection around them, and just give them a sense of peace and comfort when Patrick is around and able to feel that love and safety that he brings through you to them, Lord, and just help him to be that shining light that reflects you out in the world, and we thank you so much for him and his music. But most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, dying for our sins on the cross. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much again, gentlemen, for having me on.
Well, thank you.
Jeremy, if you ever need anything, you know I'm always here.
Yeah, yeah. I know, same
well,
thing.
That goes for both of you. I mean, when you need something, don't hesitate to reach out. You know how to get hold of me. So
same. Bro, so, you got my number.
Yep.
Call me.
You got my number too, dude.
Not doing this struggle bus alone. We're a team.
That's right. Yep.
One big family.
So hold on. Let me go ahead and end. Let me end this show so then we can talk afterwards. So for those watching and listening, I just want to thank you for tuning in. Be sure to catch this episode next week when it drops, and watch throughout the week as we're going to be dropping 5 random questions from this goofball over here. Who knows how he's going to respond, but it's going to be great. But above all else, remember, if you're going to rock, rock for him. Oh, before we go, Kira, we missed you this week. We hope to see you back next week.
Kira, I have a grudge for you. You did not come to Frankfurt like you promised.
Oh, boy.
I remember.
Him.
Oh, yeah. This is Patrick Rivers from 3 Days Under. If you're going to rock, rock for him. That was...
What you saw today, hit the subscribe and like button down below, and don't forget to share it to all your friends. Also, leave us a comment down below. If you're gonna rock, rock for him.
Stay tuned, because coming up next week on Rock for Him, we talk to Drive Through Society, and if you pay attention, you may get a hint of a upcoming song that was accidentally talked about.